You're graduating this year? Already did. What are you doing? Come on up here, man. In business. There we go. I'm going to just give you the same spiel that I gave Mariah, but you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord and lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path. It doesn't say trust in other people. It says trust in the Lord. It says don't lean on them. Lean on him. And he will direct your path. What God has set for you, you have to walk in that. Be bold about it. Be unapologetic about it. But your relationship with him is the first and foremost thing in your life. So keep that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with trusting in the Lord for a good wife. So you're done. You're done with school.
Yep.
All right. So now that's the next phase to get you settled. Amen?
Amen.
You're a good looking young man to get you settled.
Yep.
Mom would like that, wouldn't she? Not, maybe not yet. Wait. Here you go. Y'all stretch out your hand to this young man. What an accomplishment for you. Father God, we just thank you for Kyle. We thank you for his life, his health, and his strength, Lord. We thank you for the footsteps that are ordered by you, Lord. And we just thank you for watching over him and protecting him from everything he does, Lord. And we just thank you. We thank you for the goodness and mercy that follows him and all the blessings that will overtake him, Lord. And we just thank you that everything he sets his hand to will prosper in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Hey, good thank job. You, man.
Yes. Business. Y'all ready for today? Boy, man, I was watching online. I think a few people may have heard my message last week. Probably got a little upset over the Jesus turning the water into wine stuff. But I'm going to stand on that. Does God want you to go out and get drunk? No, scripture says drunkenness is a sin. You know, Paul even told Timothy, do not just drink water only, but drink a little wine, because Timothy was dealing with some problems in his life. He had some ailments going on with his stomach. Paul knew something. Paul didn't say, go ahead and get drunk. I don't water down the word of God because it doesn't fit somebody else's theology and their experiences. We all have experiences. I don't drink. I don't encourage young people to drink. The Bible says to be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Young people, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to, well, you're encouraging. No, I'm not. I'm just not watering down what Jesus had done. I just choose not to because of somebody else's message. We would never do that. Well, that stuff is wrong. Well, so is overeating. I'm not blaming food for my reason for being a little overweight. How dare God? No, I got to push the plate back. I got to get out and walk. I got to exercise. I have to maintain my body. That's not the plate's fault. You know, 10 times out of 10, whenever we sin, that's user error. Okay. From the beginning of time to up until now, we have abused everything. Mankind has abused everything that God has given them. When people talk about prosperity, guess what? I don't go off on bad experiences. I go off of what the Word of God teaches. On prosperity, prosperous, and prosper. Because there have been some bad eggs. When it talks about money, I don't go off of the bad experiences. Although they can teach me what not to do, I'm going to still stick with the Word of God because I don't allow people's experience to shape my faith in God and my belief. I'm old school with it. I'll stick with the Word. So if that offends you, tough. Get over it. Come on. We ready to preach? Say it and believe it. Say it and believe it. Speak it out. Confess the word. We confess it every single day. Some people don't believe when they speak over their lives, it won't work. It will work. What you say matters in your life. What you say and speak over your life, it matters. It matters so much. And you don't think it, well, no, I don't know if it, no, it matters. What you say over your life matters. Doctor said I wouldn't be able to walk. 3 years old, I got hit by a car. I got a cast all the way from here to here. I wouldn't be able to walk, wouldn't be able to have a normal childhood. What you say and what other people say over you and speak over you matters. You have to receive the goodness of God. You have to receive what the Word of God says. Because if you back down from that, those things will start coming to pass in your life. And then you're wondering God and crying out to God, why? Oh, why, Lord? You don't ever have to go there if you're dealing with what the Word of God says. You have to be bold about it. People can believe that Jesus can heal. They can believe that when others may pray for them, it will work. You got to believe it. You have to say it over your life. Well, I know if I pray for so-and-so, they will get healed, but I'm having a hard time speaking it over my life. I'm having a hard time believing. You don't have to just speak it. You command it, and you walk in it. When we come in, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and what? You're thanking God for what he's done, for who he is and what he's done. You're thanking him. It's already a done deal. Lord, I believe I received what I prayed for, what I commanded, what I that's this mountain in my life is moved. You know, the scripture says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, but believe and do not doubt in his heart, but believe in what the things he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. You have to say it three times. Believe it once. Say it and believe it. Don't doubt in your heart. You speak it over your life. God's redemption for you covers that, but it doesn't mean that you won't experience the bad things in your life. You can just overtake it, override it. Some people just learn to live with it. People don't learn to live with stuff that you're not supposed to live with. Don't settle for that. It doesn't belong to you. Well, maybe God is doing. No, it doesn't belong to you. Receive what Jesus has done through his redemption. You don't have to settle for that. Take a stand. Take a stand in your life. This is going on where they said this. Man, we can get so wrapped up in those things. We can get so wrapped up in what other people say. We can get so wrapped up we're believing it, and then we'll hang out with other people, and then what ends up happening, we start countering what we actually were believing God for. Look at what Luke says here, 4:38. Luke 4:38, I'm reading a New Living Translation, as you know. It says, after leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to Simon's home where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her, everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever and it left her. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. The people that were begging for Jesus to heal Simon's mother, Peter's mother, loved her a lot, must have loved her a lot because they were, hey, she cleans the house for us. She cooks for us. We haven't eaten in 3 days. Can you heal her? They were begging for her. But here's the thing. Since we have a relationship with God, we don't ever have to beg. We don't ever have to beg God for anything that he's given us. We ask, we command it, we demand it. We don't have to beg God. It's ours. It belongs to us already. We don't have to beg him. See, in some churches, I believe it's Catholic Church. I don't know if they still believe this or not. Believe that Peter wasn't married. Well, if he has a mother-in-law, ta-da! He's married. But some people also believe this is the reason why Peter denied Jesus. He healed his mother-in-law. Now, I like telling that joke. For whatever reason, people don't want to speak out the word, and that gets us to a place of fear, that gets us to a place of timidity, what have you. But yet, in 1 Timothy 2, it talks about for God did not give us, or 2 Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That dunamis power, the ability to get results, that's what he's given you. This is what he's given you. You speak it out. And you stand on his promise. You don't back down. And as soon as Jesus rebuked the fever, she got up and began to prepare a meal for them. He says, the works that I do shall you do, and you will do even greater. This is nothing for y'all. That's nothing. Because now we're on to greater things. But you still have to do those. Because that doesn't ever stop. There's going to be times where people are with a fever. There's going to be times where you might be fevered, laying down sick. God forbid that ever happens. Because no sickness should be coming near your dwelling. But you do have authority over it. Over all of it. Come on. Unbelief will creep into your mind. And then it gets into your heart, and then you will be speaking out the unbelief if you continue to listen to the wrong things, the wrong people, hanging around with the wrong crowd, listening to the wrong ministers. You know, the thing about it is you can get on certain podcasts and stuff like that. There's a lot of unbelief out there. You know what hurt you quicker than alcohol? Gossip. Rumors, lies, slander, sowing discord. I don't see people blaming God for the tongue and the mouth and the free will that he has given us. User error. We messed that up. Your words are powerful. Your words are containers. Hallelujah. Come on. It's a finished work, but if you don't enforce it every day and live it out, you will have more problems than what you should have. Then you end up saying that God is doing this stuff in my life. It's something negative, and he's not bringing negative things. We know this as a church, but it's just a reminder for those even online. God is not bringing negative things into your life in order to teach you something. And lead us not into temptation. He's not. Those evil desires come from within us. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything that God has given you is a good thing. And he's created all things to be good, but see, not all things are permissible for you. You know, people may say, you should abstain from every form of evil. Okay, then stop gossiping. Get off the podcast, stop gossiping. Because that's evil. If people don't know what they're talking about, stop gossiping. Because that's evil. And it's destructive. And it hurts people. And you'll reap that judgment upon yourself. I'm trying to help you. Get around people that know the word. Get around people. I said, you can believe in and standing in confidence with God and what his word says. And then you go out to lunch with a friend and stuff like that. And they'll ask you how everything's going on. And then you start talking and you start doubting and contradicting what you've been believing and standing on the word. You end up talking yourself out. The Bible says, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned in Matthew 12. You don't realize how quick, 12:36, if you're trying to write that down, 12:36-38, right there, right? You don't realize that you just countered the very thing you're standing on by a simple lunch. But if you share those things with that individual because they're good friends, they're family, or what have you, and then they begin to counter what you're believing on, they might be secretly in competition with you. Be mindful of who you share your things with and what you're standing with and who you're standing with. But if they're saying, hey, you told them these things, they know it, and you start speaking doubt and unbelief, and then they correct you on that, that's a good friend. That's somebody who knows the word. That's somebody who you can stand in faith with. That's somebody who can get down with, who you can get down with. That's somebody who you can go and battle with. Those who will know the word of God, that will stand on his promises and won't let you waver in any way, shape, or form. Wait a minute, did you say this? Yes. Are you believing it? Yes. So why are you speaking doubt and unbelief right here? What crept in? What happened from the time you believed it and trusted God in it, from you saying it and believing it, to now? And whatever got in the way, get rid of it. Don't allow it to take place. Don't allow it to get in your ear gate anymore. Sometimes you just got to get mean with it in a nice way. But if it's doubt and unbelief, get rid of it out of your heart. Do not ever receive the things that are contrary to God's word for your life and for the life of your kids. Well, ma'am, your son's stupid. He needs special classes. My son's got a sound mind in the name of Jesus. His brain works and his functions properly in the name. It don't matter what they said. It matters what you say. They don't have power over your children. They're talking about what they've seen. But what you believe is something totally different. You speak life over your children. They ain't got to be stupid. They ain't got to be dumb. They ain't got to be mute. That's a dumb spirit. That's an infirmity on them, if that's the case. Command it to leave. You have authority over it. But sometimes we'll just go along with what they're saying and just settle for it. Whole different ball game now. Don't settle. He will be the top of his class. When was the last time you stand on something and just didn't back down? Well, I'm still standing. There you go. Now we need to bring it into manifestation. How do you do that? Thanksgiving and praise. Lord, I thank you that I believe I received what I've spoken in my life. Worship should be different now. I got it. Lord God, I thank you. I got it. I'm healed. I'm delivered. My house is full. I got it. That sounds nuts. It would seem nuts to be listening to somebody speak to a tree and curse it. Because that's out of the ordinary. May no one ever eat of you again. 24 hours later, it comes back and the tree is all dried up. And they were marveled. They were amazed at it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe in the things that he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's for everyone who believes. And the key word is, you have to believe. It's not hard. Jesus didn't make it hard for us. He made it very easy. Saying it, believing it, and receiving it. The enemy will make it hard for us. I go to God, it's very easy. I do it on my own, difficult. Trouble. What is going on? I'll go to God from here on out. Why? Because he fights my battles. And I just have to get my heart in line with what his word, heart and mouth in line with what his word says. Okay. What does the word say about this one? Now, I don't know every scripture in the Bible. So let me go and find it. Let me find some more. And this is what I'm standing on. This is his promise. This is his word. It's for me. I don't have to beg you, Lord. I thank you. I believe I receive. I believe, I receive. I'm speaking it out. I believe, I receive. This is what your word says. Healing is for you. We're going to challenge you. Both of y'all. What does the word say about Nyla? Huh? Say what? Been healed. Are you sure? Are you positive? There's no doubt. No doubt. Healed. Delivered. Set free. Fully function. You don't back down. Ever. Why? Because you're not moved by what you see. You're moved by his word. His word. Lord, your word says this, Lord. No, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. Your word says this, Lord. I'm on my knees, Lord. Your word says I am healed. I'm not moving from that. Your word says I'm delivered. Your word says I have favor. Littlest thing come up. Right? Lord, I thought. And that's the thing. We get to that. Don't allow it to move you. Where's your faith? Jesus had told his disciples many a times, where's your faith? Lord, this storm is coming. We're getting ready to drown. He's over there knocked out. You're supposed to be doing what I'm doing. You're supposed to be asleep. And you're thinking you're going to drown? You think I'm going to let you drown? I'm going to hold you up. Come on, man. See, you could have slept through the storm. Or guess what? You can speak to the storm. But God is not going to let you drown. Why? Because of his promise. You don't back down. And many times that you can talk to people and stuff, I'm just listening. What is the word? This is what the word says. Don't rely on me. It's not my word. It's God's word. It's the word of Jesus. He said it. He's the promise. He's the standard. Not me. But I'm going to do what his word says. And as I follow Christ, come on. Because I'm not going to back down from anything or anyone. Because I'm going to stand on his word and his promises. I just choose not to be a giant in somebody else's life. But there ain't going to be no giant that's going to come in my life and then try to tell me what to do. No matter how big that mountain is, it will be removed when I speak. It will be removed out of your life when you speak and believe it. Come on. That was for free. That wasn't in my notes. Even the knee thing. Proverbs 18:21. It's Passion Translation, I believe. No? You got it? Did I give that to you? I must have missed that. Proverbs 18:21, the Passion Translation, please. It says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap what? The consequences of it. Your words are powerful. Stop treating it like it isn't. Your words are powerful. Your words can bring life to people. There's people who are needing it. There's people walking by, you're walking by them every single day. There's people who are needing words. Words of empowerment, words of courage, words of encouragement. Words that can heal. Your words are powerful and people need it. You got to be on point. You know, his word says in Romans, it says that those are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. You've got to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit because your words are powerful. Your words can bring life to somebody that needs it so badly. And most of the time, we're just thinking about what we need. We go to the store. I'm like that too. I'm going to the store. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to get in, get out, and leave. I can't tell you when the last time I've been in Walmart. But sometimes I can get so focused on self. And there could be some people that need it. And then there are times where I do run into somebody in this, and then they start talking. I'll run into an old friend from the Hayes Daily or something like that, and we'll come in. She'll start talking, and we just start. It's almost like we pick up where we left off. They're so happy to see me. Come here, let me show you my wife. Sometimes she's not happy to see me. She's like, okay, go out to the church. Go do something. But I like hanging out with you, Chris. You're cool? You are cool. But there's people who need you, who need the word that you have that's in your spirit, man. That's in your heart. They need that. Speak life into each other. I don't care what your situation is. God cares. I care, in a sense. I don't care about the negative thing because it's what his word says. You don't back down. Not for 1 second. You stick with it. Did you back down? Absolutely not. Sorry, I don't mean to pick on you, but you're here every single time. We love you. I love seeing you because every time I see you, I'm thinking of the promise that he had for you. That's why I like seeing you. And that's why I don't mean to pick on you, though. I'm just happy to see you, both of you. You're good people. I don't care what everybody says. You're good people. And if they don't like it, they can come see me. And we'll Indian Lake wrestle. Your words are powerful. That they will kill or give life. If you're going to kill something, kill the enemy. Kill the negativity that's in your life. If you're going to kill something, kill that. But you're speaking life over it. Jesus cursed the tree. I always wonder why he didn't bless it. He was hungry. That makes sense to me. Grab a Snicker. But he cursed it. But he's showing you the power of words, of speaking it out and believing it. You can do this too. That ain't nothing. This is just the beginning. That ain't nothing. Mountain? What mountain? That's nothing in your life. Mountain in my life. This right here, speaking in front of people. Big mountain. Terrified. But it's nothing. 2 Timothy 1:7 is the scripture that God gave me. He didn't give it to you, so why are you accepting it? He didn't give you fear. He didn't give you a spirit of fear. Why are you accepting it? And I would talk myself out of this over and over and over again. Not just myself, but the enemy was like, hey, I don't even have to do anything. Look at you. You're just talking yourself out of what God wants for you. He didn't give it to you. Accept what God has given you. Accept what he's placed in your life. Accept that redemption. Have you back now? No. Have you back now? Neither have I. Neither has she. And by this time next year, mama, daddy, rejoice. Because it's not a bad thing. A child is a blessing. Receive it. So now when we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for making me a mama. I thank you, Lord, for making me a daddy. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed by your stripes, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that my household is peaceful. I thank you, Lord, that everything I set my hand to prosperous, Lord. I thank you for an overflowing church, Lord. I thank you for the impact that we have in this city. Lord, I thank you that the people that need the words that are powerful, that is in my life, they receive it. Lord, I thank you. You will put it in me to give it to them. I thank you. Don't you dare back down. If you back down, I'm going to get you. Because I want God's best for you. And guess what? That's magnified 1,000 times over how Jesus wants it for you. I'm not Jesus, but he does live in me and he does live in you. Remember, you have resurrection power in you. It's alive in you. We don't serve a dead God. He is alive and well. He is seated on his throne and he has raised you up and has seated you in heavenly places. Quit being so down and out. So downtrodden when his promises are so pure and so holy. Some of y'all been beating yourself up right here. Stop it. Stop it. The biggest battle you're ever going to have is right here. Win it. It's already won. But you're talking yourself out of a lot of things. Things that you should be doing that you haven't stepped into. Stop doing that and step into it. Hallelujah. I guess I got more scriptures, huh? Psalm 141, New Living Translation says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. David knew about the mouth and the destruction it can cause. We understand that this little tongue right here, this little member in our mouth, can set our whole body on fire. We know that. That's why your words are powerful. And you can't do this without God's help. You cannot do that. You cannot control it without the help of the Lord. And sometimes when you do this, the Holy Spirit, when I started doing this, the Holy Spirit said, why are you saying that? I have to check up on what I'm saying. Don't let me drift towards evil or take part in the acts of wickedness. We know evil communication or bad company will corrupt good character. Sometimes people, even though they may mean well, the enemy can be speaking through them. So if anyone is saying anything that counters what you're believing the Lord for, and you get in agreement that quick with your heart, man, you better hope that the Holy Spirit is canceling, helping. Hey, you need to cancel that thing out. And get back to trusting me. Whew. You haven't backed off, young lady, have you? No, ma'am. Ecclesiastes 10 says, wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Negative thoughts may come to your mind, but those negative thoughts does not have to come out of your mouth. Okay? Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Godly people speak helpful words, words that can get you to the next level. The godly will speak out the words that matter. The godly will speak out words that are so good to you that it's almost like it's like a home cooked meal. I don't know about you, but when I went to school here, I lived off ramen noodles, Totino's pizza, frozen pizza, cereal. You always got to have bologna in the house. Sandwiches. bologna and cheese. Every once in a while, if I had a little money, I'd go across the street because I stayed on 8th Street. It was like that corner house right across from the gas station and then taco shop is right there. That's where we stayed in Upper. So I go across the street and get me a little chimichanga, a frozen chimichanga, microwavable. So it'd be all soggy when you eat it and stuff. But it was good. Green chili. And so I would love it when we had game days because I knew I was getting two meals. I didn't have to eat ramen noodles anymore. And we did our pregame meals at the Golden Q. Oh, Dwayne hooked us up. Dwayne Kramer, he owned it then. He hooked us up. And then we have, was it Agostino's pizza afterwards. So we get to take some home. Have boxes. So I was living off $90 a month after everything was paid for with my scholarship. So I was happy to get some food. I didn't have any NIL deals like they did. I said, you talk about soft, man. Good gracious. We were roughing it. And some of y'all probably even had it worse when you were going. But it wasn't until I met this fair lady who took me over to her family's house and we grubbed off of Sandy's cooking. And y'all know Sandy can burn. And then we had leftovers. Real good leftovers. That, I mean, you know, you have leftover from fast food. It's not the same. The fries are stale, everything. Yeah, good leftovers. Words that bring life. It's like a good home-cooked meal. It's satisfying to the soul. It's so good, man. See, don't just speak it over other people's lives. You need to speak it over yourself. It's okay to eat a little too. Because if you keep feeding yourself Totino's pizza and ramen noodles, who's ramen? It's not going to be a good, healthy diet. If you keep speaking negative words over your life, it's not going to be good, man. You're just going to be just down and out. Why are you mad all the time? No, honestly, I'm not mad. I'm not the angry black man every single time. Just honestly, I'm not. I'm just always thinking in deep thought. I was going through some stuff, and Kristen's over here trying to get me to watch some movies on Netflix and stuff like that. You need to lighten up, man. Why are we watching this stuff here? Because you knew. But good words, God's word, it's like a good home-cooked meal. It hits every time. You ever go back home and you have some, your children go, if I go back home, my mom is 70-some years old. She's got a walker. She be faking sometimes. Because I've seen some videos. My cousin has sent me some videos. Ma, you be faking sometimes. I said, my cousin sent some videos. She's over here walking with a cart and stuff like this. I was like, why you got a walker at home? She wants to be old. Looking for a little scooter. I said, you don't need all that. But again, I'm. But when I go back home, she's going to have to cook. I put her to work. Get that fried chicken. I've been trying to get her to start a business, Lorraine's Shoebox Chicken to Go. We used to have some chicken. We used to get it from, and she give us some chicken, but we was to put it in a shoebox and put it in some aluminum foil. And then we eat it on the road. I said, see, you can start your business, Shoebox Chicken. People can have orders if you don't want to work. So we can do it. It's just your face. You got that motherly face on there. Mama's chicken. But I put it to work. Why? Those home-cooked meals are something different. I can go to In-N-Out. I can go all these other places. But there's something about the good home-cooked meal and the collard greens and the sweet potatoes and the cornbread and, oh my goodness, candied yams. Oh my Lord, the egg pies. Good gracious stuff. The sweet tea. Man, my goodness. That southern cooking. But this is what God's word is about. It's like a good home-cooked meal. I'm telling you, God wants you to have that every single day of your life. You don't have to starve yourself of his word. You don't have to starve yourself from his presence. You don't have to starve yourself from the community. He wants you to have that home-cooked meal every single day. Because there's other people that need you in your life, in their lives. There's people that need your powerful words. And you don't think you make a difference. I'm here to let you know, you do make a difference. I don't care how young and how old you are, you do make a difference in people's lives. And people are looking up to you. You do make a difference where you're at, man. If the Lord has you to have a little small Bible study there, go for it. But they need the word that you have, the encouragement. Have you backed off? Come on. There's people believing. Say it. Believe it. And when you see something that happens that is just going to jar your faith a little bit, you stand strong. You don't back down from it. You go right back at it. Don't you dare. It's kind of like your kids if they talk back to you. Wait, what? You know, you don't just let that slide. You go right back. That ain't happening. Brandon doesn't do that to you, does he? No, I'm a good kid. He's a good kid. Cat's like, If only you knew. No, the lips of the godly speak helpful words. Let's speak helpful words. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. And we'll be done after a while. Mark 5, it says this, and he departed and began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished and marveled. And when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lake shore. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus, by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. Those are great words right there. He didn't say, keep me in your prayers. He said, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. He's making a demand. Verse 24 says, and Jesus went with him and a great crowd following him and pressed him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. I don't understand that aspect of women. But does that cause you to faint? Like lose consciousness sometimes? That's a lot. How God made the woman is remarkable. It's crazy what goes on inside of y'all. Once a month. And she did this for 12 years. Who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, this is why I switched from the New Living Translation on this verse to the Amplified, because the other one says, for she thought. She had thoughts. I like this version here. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around and immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard all around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from God, from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in peace and be continually healed and free from your distressing bodily disease. Whew. While he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house who said to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further? Overhearing, but what? Ignoring. You may hear some things in your life, but you're going to have to ignore it. You don't have to respond to everything. You can overhear it, but ignore it. Why? Because it wasn't what he had said. It wasn't what he had wanted. It wasn't what was going down and what he was wanting what to happen to his daughter. You can overhear it, but you're going to have to ignore it. Stand on the promises. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Believe what you said. Come and lay hands on her so that she may live. And he permitted no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John. The same Peter, James, and John that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The same Peter, James, and John that was at the Mount of Transfiguration. Your circle matters. He didn't take Thomas there. Thomas wasn't there. Would have messed everything up. Your circle matters. When they arrived at the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked and carefully with understanding at the truth, at the tumult, and the people weeping and wailing loudly. See, these people were paid to do this. They were paid to wail, to weep, and mourn with you. I understand the Bible says to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn, but not all the time, especially if the Lord had told you to do something. Jesus did that with Mary and Martha. We know that because he wept, but he didn't weep here. Look what happened next. And when he had gone in, he said to them, why do you make an uproar and weep? The Lord, your word says to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. The little girl is not dead, but is sleeping. And they laughed and jeered at him, but he put them all out and taking the child's father and mother and those who were with him, he went in where the little girl was lying. Gripping her firmly by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which translated is, little girl, I say to you, arise from the sleep of death. And instantly the girl got up and started walking around, for she was 12 years old, and they were utterly astonished and overcame with amazement. I'm going to tell y'all, you can overhear stuff, but if it doesn't line up with the word, you better ignore it. Because it'll cause you to doubt here. And then you'll be speaking it out here. And it'll cancel out everything that you want for your life and what God wants for you, the promises for you. You can hear it, but ignore it. Stick with the word. Because it's true. It's powerful. It's anointed. And God watches over his word to do what? Perform it. Come on, y'all can talk. I'm not going to get upset if you just speak out loud. It's kind of a practice. Your confession matters. Jairus, hold on to your confession. Don't change it up just because you heard some bad news. Don't change it up just because you hear some bad news. Don't change it up because someone said something to you. Sometimes people will say things and they don't really mean it, or they don't know what they're saying, that it can cause you to think about it on a little bit and then get in your heart. Well, I don't really know if God's, I don't know if it's where it works. You know, this, I seen this podcast and this person has said this and has said that. Wait a minute. Don't base your faith off of somebody else's story. You base your faith off the word of God. Because it's true. I got stories, but if they don't line up with the word of God, do away with it. Overhear it and ignore it. His promises are true. I hear people say, well, God doesn't want you to prosper like in Jeremiah. Yeah, he do. If he didn't want you to prosper, if he didn't want you to have a good life, if he didn't want these things for you, he wouldn't have given you his word. Jesus wouldn't have redeemed you. He wouldn't have a relationship with you. He wouldn't have given you authority. You wouldn't have the anointing on your life. All of those, you wouldn't have to walk into victory. Are you kidding me? It's almost impossible to fail. Seriously. You have to try really hard, or basically not try at all, to fail. You have to put little to no effort in the body of Christ. You're not losers. You're winners. You're overcomers. Each and every one of you, if you put your trust in God, start speaking it out. Continue to believe. And when we come in, and wherever you're at, you get in your car, you enter to his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Y'all should take a ride along with me. So I'll be blasting some music loud, and I'm dancing. I'm probably one of the best car seat dancers out there. But I'm unashamed. I love to worship in my truck. I love to worship when I'm at home, sometimes if I am cleaning. But I love to have music on when I'm doing stuff. That's the thing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Come on. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we can speak it out, we can say it, and we can believe it. And Lord, we just thank you for the hearts that are here. The words that come out of their mouth, they are powerful words that can heal people, that can help people, that can encourage people and build them up, Lord. We thank you that we are builders in the kingdom of God. And we thank you for the lives that are being impacted today, here in this church and there online. We thank you for a faith-filled church, spirit-filled church, a church that honors you, Lord, a church that will put you first and your word over everything else in our lives, Lord. And we just thank you for watching and protecting over our children. We thank you for nurseries filled, toddlers filled, preschool filled, children's church filled, youth filled, college filled, overflowing, this church filled in the name of Jesus. Packed with lives that care about you, first and foremost. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen? And amen. Y'all, thank y'all. You may stand. Close it out. I'm going to call on somebody else. Nobody in my family want to close out. I want to pray. Come here, Brian. He said no to. Close this out. Is that on? Is this mic on? There we go.
God, I thank you for the day. I thank you for bringing us all here to worship. I pray for protection over all of us as we go home today and that we are blessed with a great meal. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. No ramen noodles. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday at 8. Oh, sorry.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.